Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
All right. God is good. All the time. Good. A couple of quick things as you're getting settled in to hear what God has to say to you this morning. Many of you that are here in the auditorium either picked these up or sat on these, but could you just grab them for a quick second? What are these?
Invite cards.
Let me tell you what they actually are. They're divine connections. There are probably people on the other side of this card whose time is now. They may not make the connection if we won't be willing to actually get these in their hands. So no guilt trip. I don't mean it that way. I'm just saying that in all honesty, we're in a sweet spot when it comes to people's general interest and willingness to explore worship. It tends to be Easter or Christmas. So why don't we take advantage of that? Just take some of these and just say, God, if you'll open the door, I'll hand one of these out. For the record, the easiest way to get this in somebody's hand is put it in a gas pump after you take your debit card out. Just saying. They got to take it out anyway to put their card in. They'll never know it was you, but you'll still get the credit for it. Anyway, just want to throw that out there. You guys ready to hear what God's got to say? I love how the Lord works in our journey together. So here in the auditorium, those of you that are in the online campus today, we want to again say welcome. We're glad that all of you are here. We see you, we feel you, and we're excited about what God is doing. I want to share a couple of things with all of you today. I've been doing some reading and have found some really interesting research that's going to help a lot of us in here today. And so, would you mind if I pass on a couple of really helpful thoughts before we get to the scripture? Some scientific studies that have really helped me a lot, and I think this may be helpful to you. I'll pass this on. The first one is there's a recent scientific study that concluded that women who carry a few extra pounds live longer than the men who mention it.
Amen.
Guys, I'm just saying. I just want to help you out, guys. While I'm helping you out, let me help you with another part of life. I don't know if you've connected the dots on this, but we have chemicals in our body that really accentuate the different syllables of our words. They're called hormones, and everybody's got them, but there are different seasons in life that they tend to be a little louder in their amplification. So I'm going to pass on a couple of thoughts to you. It's called the Hormone Guide for Men. Dangerous, safer, and safest. So I'm going to give you some pointers here. Here's dangerous. What's for dinner?
No.
Safer. Can I help you with dinner?
Amen.
Safest. Where would you like to go for dinner? Just want to help you out here a little bit, guys. Y'all feel the anointing? Dangerous. What are you so worked up about? Safer. Could we be overreacting? Not really that safer. Not much difference. Safest. Here's my paycheck. Last one. Dangerous. Should you be eating that? Guys, I feel, can y'all feel the pain in here? God wants to just heal us of all this pain. Safer. You know, there's lots of apples left. It's not really that, it's not that much safer, is it? How about this one? Can I get you a piece of chocolate to go with that?
Yeah.
So just, that's all free for the guys who are trying to figure out what's going on. So now I want to give you a little spoonful of sugar because we're still dealing with, in the series called Provision, an area of life that tends to be rather sensitive. Because a lot of times we misinterpret what God's after. And so let's jump into the journey of what God has to say to us this morning and see if God can help us connect with the heart and intent behind what he's really working on with provision in our life. So let's pray and ask God to open our minds and understanding, and then let's go for it. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being so present in this room. You've given all of us brains and the function of our mind in order to connect with you and each other. It wouldn't be possible without that, but sometimes we lean on our own understanding and miss what you're really working because we don't see things the way you see it. So Holy Spirit, help us align our understanding by the illuminating work that you do in us when we simply open our mind and say, if you'll show it to me, God, I'll see it. And then I'll know how to respond to align my life with it. So God, do that for us today, we pray in Jesus' name, everybody said. Amen. So the relationship series we're in right now is entitled Provision, but it really is a relationship series. Everyone say relationship. So in a similar way that God used the function of worship in the month of February to help us understand that worship is not just singing syllables or serving in obedience, but worship is about relationship. And he uses that avenue to strengthen our relationship with him. In a similar way, he wants us to understand that the way he works with provision in our lives is functionally and ultimately about relationship as well. So this series does deal with finance and money. Everyone say money. Because right now in the era of time we live in, money is the medium of exchange that we use in order to give our life away, like you might do it, you might think of it at work, in exchange for the hours of your life that you gave away in the business you either run or the business you serve in. You get a paycheck, that we call that money. It's a medium of exchange. And then we do with that what we feel like is the right thing to do with it because it's ours. But God's helping us to see that there are many more layers to that picture than we tend to think of. And so he wants us to understand that what he's really working on is our relationship. So as he makes provision to us, he's working on our relationship, not just giving us money to work with. So it's not just a money thing. But we tend to think of it initially as a money thing. God tends to see it as a relationship thing. And I was thinking about this as I was preparing for the message, and I remember when I was a little guy that it was just after Christmas, and my mom sent me down, my brother and I, and said, now, boys, I want you to write a letter to Pawpaw, and I want you to tell him how much you love him, because we're about to go up for Christmas, and she wanted us to give letters to my Pawpaw and Nana and Grandpa and Grandma. So I remember writing the letter down. I was so proud of my letter. I don't know if I was in second or third grade, but it was pretty simple. And it was just like, Pawpaw, I love you because of all the gifts you give me. And I genuinely meant that. But my mom had a more mature perspective of what was really going on. And so she said, I want to take a minute to help you understand something, Davey. She said, now, the truth is, it's fun to get gifts from Pawpaw, but I think you actually love him for more than the gifts he gives you. Yeah. And in my mind, I had not connected those thoughts. But when she helped me understand that, it dawned on me. It's true. I love my Pawpaw. It's fun to get gifts. That is fun. It's rewarding, and I like the gifts. But it's true. I love him because he's my Pawpaw. And so at an early age, I remember how God helped me start connecting those dots, that the relationship I had with my Pawpaw is what was really at stake. But the gifts opened the door to that relationship for me to enjoy them in a different way. Does that make sense to you guys? And so I wanted to look at this today from the perspective of growing our understanding of how God uses provision in the dimension of our relationship with him, not just here's a few bucks. All right, so all we're doing as we go through this year is we're pursuing him in his kingdom. Remember our scripture for the year, Matthew 6, 31 through 33 says, don't worry saying, what shall we eat or drink or what shall we wear? For after these things all the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So we're in a series this year of growing through understandings that he's showing us on how to pursue his kingdom, life in his kingdom, and in relationship with him. So let me just tag a tiny bit of last week to make sure that we're connecting the thought God gave us last week with what he's talking about with us this week. We looked at the function of the word premise. Everyone say premise. Premise is a foundational statement that is used as a basis for operation in a particular field, and we applied it to our understanding by looking at math. And 1 + 1 = 2 every time, all day, all night, every night, every year, 1 + 1 = 2. And if we approach math with that premise, then there's a chance that we'll understand how math works as we work with it, as long as we approach it with the right premise. Do y'all see it? Okay, if we approach math from the premise that 1 + 1 = 3, then nothing about our ultimate outcomes are going to be right because our initial premise is wrong. So one of the big ideas that God was helping us understand last week is, okay, on the foundation of it's all about relationship, I want you to understand in my kingdom, I own everything because I'm the king. We looked at this in Psalm 24, verse 1. It's not on the screen, but just want to remind you what it says. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. It's all God's. All right? So God owns everything. But he puts some of what he owns into our management, into our hands. He puts some of what is his into our hands, so we can relate with him as we manage what's his on his behalf. So let me give you guys a couple of context points for today then. How many of you ever heard the word blessed? Okay, how many of you ever heard the word cursed? Okay, so let me give you a couple of context points to help you understand with a little more clarity some of what we're going to cover today. Blessed, one way to think of that is when it comes to God's kingdom, if something is blessed, then it is functioning in alignment with his kingdom and who he is. So when things are aligned with his kingdom and who he is, his operation, his favor, his strength, his power, his supernatural anointing, his all of those things are flowing into it, and it works according to his kingdom, we would call that blessed. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Cursed means it's something that's functioning in alignment with the kingdom of darkness. Its values, the way it works, the things that motivates the kingdom of darkness. If it's aligned with that, it does not operate under the blessing of God. It's operating under the function and influence of a different kingdom. Now, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, which one is blessed?
Kingdom of God.
All right, just for a quick example, think back through, if you've not read through Genesis chapters 1-3 and how God created everything and then how he put it all together and the initial interactions and then the fall of mankind and the result of sin, if you've not read through that lately, just go back for a quick view of that. In your mind or sometime this week, but think about this. In Genesis chapters 2 and 3, you see before pictures of how everything worked in the kingdom of God as he designed it to work. Then after the fall in Genesis 3, you see what happened as a result of that. Do you make the connection? Okay. So God created it and set it all up and said, this is how it works. As long as they lived in alignment or obedience with him and how his kingdom worked, there was favor, blessing, it all worked right. As soon as they sinned against him, they opened a different door, stepped into a different function, and everything around them was cursed. So what I want to just use this little analogy is that our choice to align our lives with the obedience of how God said, this is how it works. I either step into the way his kingdom works, blessing, or I step into a cursed context, which means out from under the blessing of God into the ways that the kingdom of darkness works. My choice opens one door or the other door. For me, I want to walk through the door that leads to blessings. So, what I'm doing this morning is I've put a message together called First Things First. And I want to cover really a couple of biblical principles that help us put and keep God first relationally in our lives. Relationally in our lives. We're going to talk a little bit about the principle of first fruits. Everyone say first fruits. And the principle of first priority. Say first priority. And here's the coolest thing about this. You get to choose. All right? So I'm not going to put a pistol in your back and say, no, you got to do this. You got to do that. I'm not going to put a guilt trip on you. I'm not going to try to manipulate you or maneuver you. I'm just going to open the scriptures up as we understand them to be and show you what we believe God is saying about how this particular dimension of his kingdom works in our lives. So I want to talk for just a few minutes about the principle of first fruits. And if you're taking notes, and I hope all of you are, including those of you that are on the online campus this morning, write this down. Number one, when it comes to the tithe belongs to God. Now, this isn't too hard to understand because we just remember moments ago in Psalm chapter 24, all of it belongs to God, right? So if all of it belongs to God, it's not that hard to understand that the tithe belongs to him too, because the tithe is a smaller subset of all. It's just logical. If God owns 100% of everything, the tithe, which is a tenth part, is it hard to understand that that's his too? Because it's not 110%, it's a tenth of the 100 he already owns. So the tithe is his, it belongs to God. Everyone say the tithe belongs to God. How do we know this? I'm glad you asked. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 says it this way. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Is the Lord's. And goes on to say, it is holy to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. So is it the Lord's? Yes. Is it holy to the Lord? What's the difference? You may not have ever thought of it this way, but I'm going to take a couple of minutes and unpack a couple of dimensions of these two points. Is it the Lord's? Yes. Is it holy to the Lord? Yes. Let me give you a couple of insights on this. When that phrase is the Lord's, it's a reminder that everything is already God's. So it's just reiterating the fact that it's already God's. But when it says it's holy to the Lord, that means there's a unique function or purpose in God's design that that part actually helps make happen. It's holy. So all of it's his, but that part is different in its hisness. Is that a real word? Let's just call it a word. If you're visiting with us today, this may not be overly obvious because I'm 54 years old and I wouldn't naturally have a 2-year-old daughter, but we do. We have a near 30-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old daughter. And so we're revisiting some of what happens in the twos parts of life. One of Tori's favorite words right now is mine. It's mine. Everything is hers. The car I drive is hers. The world is hers. The dip, dip, dip that she likes to put her chicken in is hers. My toothbrush is hers. It's like whatever she sees, it's mine. It's mine. Today, we were wrestling around with her. She was so excited. She had her little backpack on. She couldn't wait to come to church with a little backpack on. So one of the things we had to do, because you do this every morning, it's not a surprise, not a shock, we do this every morning, we brush our teeth. I said, hey, Tori, let's take our backpack off so we can brush our teeth. Mount Vesuvius. She just erupted in flailing agitation and tears and syllables, and all of them sounded like mine. And I was like, it is yours, but we're going to take it off for today just for a minute so we can brush her teeth. What she doesn't realize is it technically is hers, but it really came from us. She did not make that backpack. She did not create the backpack, the materials it made of. She didn't sew it together. She didn't buy it. It came from mom and dad. It's in her management for a little bit, but it's not really, she didn't make it. Does that make sense? So number one, it all came from us. Number two, she hasn't discovered something that's really important, and this is really where I'm going with this. She's not discovered that the fleeting pleasure of having something, mine, falls so short of the blessing of the relationships enjoyed while sharing what she has. See, in a child's life, in a child's perspective, in the beginning of our life, in an immature perspective is, I want it. I want to own it. It's mine. But the way God created everything to be managed is not the ownership of something, but the enjoyment of sharing it with those, because everything in life comes down to the relationships with God we have with God and those around us. It's the reason, men, that your wife wants the French fries that you ordered. Have you noticed that whenever you go through the drive-thru, it's like, what do you want? Oh, nothing. I'll just have a little of something of yours. My instinct is no. If you want to order fries, I'll get you order fries. And I'm going to get the order fries out of the bag, and my fries that are in the bag and all the fries that fell out of yours that are still in the bag, they're mine. I'm missing the point that what she wants to do is share. It's about the relationship. I'm all about the fries. And you can look at every pound I'm displaying in front of you and realize that in some ways, I'm still missing the point. But it's, God wants us to know it's his and it's holy. And that being the case, listen to this, Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And you're thinking, I don't have barns and I don't have vats. I get it. But the original listeners to this particular context, this particular instructor knew exactly what that meant. For us, this would be the accounts we manage, the stores of things in our homes, the pantries, the back stock of toilet paper and paper towels you're hoarding in the garage. I don't know what that would mean to you, but it's the stores. Does that make sense? So honor the Lord means this. Remember, it all came from him. Manage everything that's in your care on his behalf in a way that honors God. Or think of it this way. How would God use this? Would he use this to buy that? Would he use this on this pleasure? Would he use this on this addiction? Would he use this resource on that issue? Would he buy HBO or Sin to the Max with this? Or whatever it is that you're subscribed to. I don't know. But the question is, are you asking those kinds of things? Or are you just spending it on whatever you want because you think it's yours? So what he's saying is, remember, it's all mine. I want you to honor me with what you have in your management. How do we do that? I manage it as if God was doing the deciding on the spending of it. The next part of it is, honor the Lord with the first fruits. Everyone say first fruits. The first fruits of all your increase. The first fruit deals with a tithe that's also his. Remember that it's all his. The tithe is also his, but it's holy. It's a separate, designated sub-part of the big picture. But he says, I've got a special use for that. That's holy to me. So what is he saying? Do with the tithe of the first fruits what he said do with it, so that the unique function he designed that tithe to have will have its place in your life. All right. So he said, it's similar to 1 + 1 = 2. If you'll honor me with all that I put in your hands, in other words, you approach it as if it's me doing the deciding and the spending and for my purposes in your life, not just what you happen to want in the moment or the whims or the addictions or the obsessions or the whatever of your life. If you'll honor me with what I put in your hands and you remember the first part to do with the first fruits of that, the tithe, then your life is going to be filled to overflowing with the blessings of God. Why? Because it's the way my kingdom works. So let me say it this way. Return the tithe, which is God's tithe, to the house of the Lord, plus manage the rest of it of what's in my care like God would work with it, equals the overflowing blessings of God. So when increase comes in my hand, what am I going to do? I'm going to take the tithe, which is the first part. I'm going to return it to the house of the Lord. Why? Because it's his. It's holy. It's not mine to do with. I'm going to return it to the house of the Lord where he said to take it. The second thing is the rest of it that I manage, I'm going to manage on his behalf. Now, it's 10:40. My mind is distracted by the time, but we made room for God earlier. Can y'all make room for him just a few more minutes in the message? Okay. The reason I'm asking you this is because God wants to set a whole generation free from the trap of what darkness has tried to put in their minds. All right, Lord, should I go into all that? Can I talk to God out loud with y'all listening? Is that okay? All right. I have a whole bunch of content that I have prepared, but I'm going to move past it. All right. Increase. Everyone say increase. We would see increase like income. So we give our life, hours of our life away. In exchange for that, there is increase or income. Or if you run a business, you have revenue that comes in, your expenses that go out, what's left is your increase or your profit. Does that make sense? Increase, income. So when we receive increase or income, the pattern we're going to watch God show us is take the tithe, which is his part. Of course, he owns all of it, but the tithe is a unique holy part to him that has a unique function in how it works in our life. We return the tithe to the house of the Lord. Then manage the rest of it on his behalf. He said, if you'll do so, then your life will overflow with my blessings. Okay, back to our 2-year-old. She loves fruit snacks. I hate the marketing of that. It sounds healthy. It's pure sugar. It's not healthy at all. It's pure chemicals and sugar, but they call it fruit snacks just so parents will buy it. She loves it. I tell you who else loves them is her Mama Sue. Her Mama Sue loves chocolate, sugar, chocolate, sugar. When she comes back from Mama Sue's house, she has had fun. She's on cloud. Mama Sue's happy. Tori is near neurotic. I mean, she's just like on cloud 9. She just, you can't even connect with her. She's just so high on sugar. But everybody's had a good time. And then Mama Sue gets to go here. Isn't that true, Mama Sue? As a parent, I'm like, you can have one bag of fruit snacks. They got like 6 little things of fruit snacks in it, right? Why am I saying you can have one? Because she hasn't learned that if I give her the whole box of 40 packages of fruit snacks, she'll just go one after the next, after the next, after the next, after the next, and then I'll be cleaning up vomit for the next 6 or 8 hours, right? Why? Because she hasn't learned that it's enjoyable in its design, but her immature context or mindset, I'll just keep spending it on my passions. I'll keep consuming it to my detriment. Daryl, I need about 5 more minutes, buddy. I'm just going to save you some. Thank you. Our Heavenly Father works in our lives in a very similar way. In other words, He wants to entrust His people with the supernatural abundance of His kingdom. But in many ways, we limit what He's able to put into our care because we'll keep eating the fruit snacks. We'll spend it all on us. Not realizing, number one, He wants to bless us. He wants us to enjoy things. But until we learn how to steward things or manage things on His behalf, the temptation is to use it all on us. And it becomes a distraction to our detriment instead of a blessing that He wants to move through us to advance His kingdom. I don't know if you figured this out, but money's not a problem to God. The problem is in here or down here. The good news about this, you guys, is as we learn what God's really up to and as we begin to align our lives with how it works, He's freer and freer and freer and freer and freer to move more and more and more and more through us. Why? Because we realize it's not ours. Years ago, I used to work for Compass Bank. I was a teller at Compass Bank. They moved me out of Compass Bank because out of being a teller into an accounts manager because they realized that when people would come up, I would talk to them. And as I would talk to them, I might get distracted and hand out this much or not give them enough. Or my drawer was always a little out of balance, but it wasn't because I was taking the money. It was because I got to talking. So they said, you belong in new accounts. And so I went to new accounts and won all the awards in the branch because I opened more accounts than anybody else. Why? Because I'm a talker. The reason I'm telling you that is I had about $40,000 every day in my drawer and underneath my drawer. They would come up and cash a check, $347.37. I'd open my drawers, thousands and thousands of dollars right there in my drawer. And I would just count out $347.27 and never think for a second about pocketing another 100 or whatever it was of the thousands. You know why? It's not just because I'm a good Christian, Christ-following guy with character, but I knew that's not mine. The bank entrusted me with thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars right there. And I literally could have taken it, but I never did because for me it was real. It's not mine. And I want you to understand that there is coming a generation, there is coming a group of people, there is coming a movement of people who are eventually going to get the picture that it's all God's. And He's wanting to do a great work that's going to take lots of revenue and lots of resources, but He can't put it in the hands of people who will self-destruct with it. But He can trust people who get the picture of how it works. Listen, there's going to be a day in eternity you walk on solid gold. So money's not a problem to God. The trip up is money is a temptation to us because we think it's ours. Now, you can do what you want. You can do whatever you want. But I want to show you something. A couple of principles. Number one, the first fruit belongs to God. The tithe belongs to God. Number two, write this down. God's tithe must be returned first. God's tithe must be returned first. First, God's tithe must be returned. Everyone say first. So the issue is just not God saying, I'll take a tenth of what I put in your hands. The issue is not the tenth, it's the first. Okay, so let's just make this practical. In my hands, I have 10 $1 bills. Not very impressive, is it? But Dave Alley wouldn't trust me with more than that. So let's say that for whatever reason, I was increased by 10. The first one has the blessing on it. The first one is the door. Is it this one, the first one on your left, or is it the first one on my left? The first one is the first one out. It doesn't matter where it's at, right? So the first one out is the first one. So when you think of first, let's think about this for a second. God's tithe must be returned first. We see this in Exodus chapter 23, verse 19. It says, "The first of your first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of your Lord, house of the Lord your God." Now, the specificity of this directive is incredible. He's already talking about the first fruits, but because he knows who I am, he's like, "David, you're a little bit slow. Let me tell you what first fruits actually means. It's the first of the first fruits." What's he saying? I want you to understand the key is firstness, not tenthness. Because our natural tendency is like, I've got all these bills, I've got all this stuff. Let me make sure everything's good. And then if there's a tenth left, I'll make sure I give the tithe then to God. God's like, no. First. I'm the first one. Oh, I have so much I want to say and so little time left. Is God after my money? Why? Because money's not an issue to God. What's God after? My heart. He's after me, the relationship. So the relationships that are the deepest are the ones who have the deepest trust in them. So God is in part saying is trust me in my ability to provide for you. Return the tithe first. Return my tithe first. The nine that's left in your hand will go further because it's in my blessing. Than if you keep all 10. God is your provider. Your Heavenly Father is your provider. You're not that talented. You're not that skilled. God gave you skills and talents. God gave you all this. But you listen, you didn't make the backpack. God is the one that did that. He uses all of it together in part to bring provision into our life. But the issue is not the money. The issue is the relationship. What is he after? Trust. But relating with him has to be in accordance to who he is. There's a theological term called the preeminence of God, which means he is the sovereign one. There is no one higher. He is first. He is above all and beyond all. He is first. It's who he is. He can't be second because he's first. He's God. He's preeminent. So the way we relate with him is not how we want him to be, it's how he is. So the issue with the first part has nothing to do with God saying, well, you didn't give it to me first. I'm a little upset about that, so I'm just not going to give you my blessings. That's not how he is. That's not how he works. He won't be, can't be second. Why? He's preeminent. So the issue for me is, will I align myself, my life, my mind, my heart, my function, my understanding, will I align that with who he is and trust that? Why? Because he is God. And when I align my life, my mind, my heart, my function, my choices, when I align all of that with him, I get him because now I'm aligned with him. And everything he brings with him. One of the names he revealed in scripture that he is Yahweh. The word is Jireh, or if you come from Texas like I did, it's Jireh. There's some other pronunciations of it. But that word literally means I am your provider. That's who I am. I'm your provider. So God's specificity with the first of your first fruits of your land you shall bring to the house of the Lord is not just about God throwing a pity party. He's like, hey guys, this is who I am. I can't be something I'm not. I'm immutable. I can't change. You get me and everything with me if you align your life with who I am. So I'm telling you, bring the tithe back to me. Bring my tithe that's holy to me. Part of what I'm doing is aligning your life with who I am. So why? So our relationship can get stronger and stronger as you see and develop trust in me as you feel and experience the provision that flows into your life. So when it comes to tithing, tithing is rooted in the principle of putting God first. Now, listen carefully. He is first. So it's not you making him first. It's you aligning yourself with his firstness. Aligning yourself with his firstness. If you've been around church for a while, there's all kind of issues about, well, tithing is a thing that that's under the law, and it's lots of stuff going on, and I'm out of time today. I would like to explain. So I may bring some of this back into next week, but the principles of what God's actually working on is not a law thing. It really, 2,500 years before the law even was given, the function of this is established. All the way back in Genesis, the very first parts of Genesis, you see this. What's God saying? I'm first. Align your life with me. Do it my way and let me actually then be who I actually am in your life. So when it comes to the tithe, my hope is that in this context that we've clearly seen the scriptures say everything belongs to God, so he already owns it all. When he puts things in our hand, there is a portion of what comes into our hands that he already owns, all of it anyway. But he says, now a portion of what comes into your hands, your increase, there's a portion I call the tithe. It has a unique function that I'm going to use to bring your life into alignment with me. I'm going to tell you what to do with that portion that's already mine, that I'm saying is holy, is designated, it belongs to me, but has a unique function. Bring that first part to my house. Do it first. Why? So that the firstness of who I am actually becomes aligned with your life. That first portion is the redemptive portion. When we align our life with who he is, we actually then begin to experience what and all that he is a better way to say it. Our life begins to experience that. So I'm not going to put the first portion into my mortgage company. I'm not going to put the first portion into SRP, Visa, Ford Finance. I'm not going to put that part there. Why? Because that's the door. The first part is the door that says, which kingdom am I going to experience? Now, let me give you one more thought when it comes to tithing. Write this last part down. It's a long one, so I'm going to leave it up here for a minute. Y'all put up point number 3 for me. The biggest benefit of tithing is not receiving. The biggest benefit or biggest blessing of tithing is not receiving more. The biggest benefit or blessing in tithing is being transformed in who I am in the relationship I enjoy with God, being transformed by the process. The biggest benefit of tithing is not receiving, but being transformed in the process. God takes that, the holy part, the tithe that I return. It says, now, when you do that, there's a part of you that actually comes with it. And this may be new information to you, or it's probably old information, you just haven't thought of this way. But we see increase or income as something we treasure. God said it's all mine. The tithe is holy. There's a unique spot when it, there's unique function for that one. And when you return it, there's something that happens in the context of that obedience that I can do something with it. Only that expression gives me the ability to do. And that is take your heart that comes with it into who I am, and our relationship gets stronger. Did y'all get that written down? Okay, now last scripture for the day is Matthew 6:21. New King James Version says this: for where your treasure is, there your what? Heart will be also. So God is giving us the picture that the simple act of choosing to obey or align our lives with how he says it works, to take the tithe and return it to the house of the Lord in an expression of worship, that's not a tax. It's a relational door that says, God, here's my heart. Here's my heart. Why? Last thought for the day, my heart follows my treasure. We touched on that a little bit last week. But there's so much more to tithing than just giving 10% to the church. God's saying, that's the exact wrong idea. I don't need the money. The issue's not that. It's how I've designed all of it to work, because what I'm after is who you are. And you can't change who you are and how this works. Why? I'm God. It's pretty simple. Now, the reality is you get to choose what you want. You get to choose what you want. But I want to make sure you understand that the priority of first things first, when it comes to what God's really working on, relationship matters. He's first. Then we obey what he says to do with what he puts in our hands. We align our lives with his firstness and get the benefits of that. All right, is tithing a money thing? It's a relational door. It's a relational door. So I'm praying for you today that you'd have the willingness to say, okay, God, help me understand it. Help me see it. Help me have the courage to step in. If tithing is a new something for you, then let the Holy Spirit show you. The reality is there is a group of people who are listening today who are like, yes, 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 that's exactly what's going on. There's another group of people that's like, I hate everything about this. I don't agree with any of it. And that the coolest part about who we are as people is we get to choose. You're okay. There's another group of people that's like, no, I've never heard of it that way before, but I'm going to let God, I'm going to ask God to show me this week and in the next few weeks the flow of how this works, because if that's the way it works, then I want to do what he said to do. Why? Because I want him. So tithing is not a heaven or hell issue. Tithing is a relationship issue. One of the cool things is we actually get to experience God in deeper ways. Why? The trust grows. All right, I'm being flagged down from the back. I've got to land this plane. But I hope you hear something in this that's inspiring to you today. Can I pray for you? Father, I thank you for being so faithful to us. You're such a good God. Today, Lord, I thank you for the ease with which you've just kind of walked us through, understanding in different contexts what some of what you're working on with this issue called tithing. Lord, the biggest win of tithing is really the relationship we experience with you. Like anything else in your kingdom, we align our lives through obedience with what you say how it works, whether it's forgiveness or unforgiveness, greed or bitterness, or the release of those things. Lord, when we align our lives with who you are and how you work in your kingdom, God, we experience the benefits of that. So I pray, God, a supernatural flow of grace on the hearers of today's word, and ask, God, that you would do what only you can do. You're God, we're not. But we can align our lives and our choices with your preeminent Godness, your firstness. So I pray, God, for the ability to do so in Jesus' name. You know, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me just say to those of you who are in this room and realize God isn't first place in my life to begin with. So this doesn't seem even in the right remote part of life. But I know I need to give my life to God, and so today I want to. In just a moment, I'm going to lead this congregation, those of you who are willing to do so, in what we call a life change prayer, biblical prayer of repentance, which means taking things from Scripture that we see about realigning our lives in relationship with the Lordship of Christ, declaring them with our mouth because our heart's already saying them. So if you need to say yes to Jesus and you're willing to do so today, I'm going to ask that you join me in prayer. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on Calvary's cross to pay the legal penalty and price for my sin. I ask you today to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed, that you wash me and cleanse me and make me new. Today, I'm giving my whole life to you. I've decided to follow you from this day forward as my only living God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.